23rd Psalm. We've been in verse 1. We want to continue there. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We've looked at several things from that statement that is necessary for us to live life in the 23rd Psalm. We see that it is a life lived taking our proper place before God, God in His place. God's always in His place. It's us recognizing such and then taking our place or our position before God. We see the position of David. He recognizes his position. He's a shepherd in life, but he takes the position of a sheep. And as we closed last week, we said that this is an assurance of salvation. We showed how the elect of God and the sheep are equivalent. They are one and the same. There are two kinds of sheep. There are lost sheep and there are saved sheep. And every lost sheep will become a saved sheep because of the Lord. So when he says, "The Lord is my shepherd," that is, he has the assurance of salvation. He knows that he is a sheep of the Lord. He knows that he has been returned to the bishop of his soul. We see in the book of John, chapter 10, Jesus speaks a parable. It's a very, to me, a very clear parable, but I guess that's only so if the Lord shows it to you. And it is a parable that is more often than not misapplied and just terrible interpretations of this parable, but it is a picture of what takes place when the Lord saves one of his sheep. In John 10, verse 1, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." Now, sheepfold was a place where shepherds would bring their sheep and they would be kept overnight. And then the next morning, of course, they would return for their sheep to lead them out to pasture. Now, if someone were the true shepherd, of course, would come to the door of the sheepfold and call his sheep. But there were those who would steal sheep. Now they would attempt to climb the walls, break in some other way. And he's referring to false preachers in this case. But that's what he's talking about there in verse 1. Then in verse 2, we have but a contrast. Contrast to the thief and the robber. "He that entereth in by the door," the same, or "he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." So we have here a picture of salvation. The shepherd comes to the sheep. That's always so. The shepherd first comes to the sheep. If that were not so, we would have remained forever lost. We would forever go astray, getting further and further and further away. But the shepherd came to the sheep. When David says, "The Lord is my shepherd," he could go back to that time when the shepherd came to him. Now notice in verse 3, to him, him is the shepherd, to him, the shepherd is Christ, the porter. Now the porter is the one in charge of the sheepfold. He's the one who's watching over that sheepfold. To him, the porter openeth. Now the porter, again, this is a parable. The porter typifies the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, Christ comes to the sheep, and the porter, the Holy Spirit, opens to him. In other words, the porter now does a work. He kept the sheep, and so it was when you and I were lost. The Holy Spirit watched over us. He kept us. We didn't know it, had no idea. But that's what was going on. And when the God-ordained time came, the Holy Spirit opens the way for Christ's access to the sheep. We see that here in verse 3. To him the porter openeth. Sheep haven't done a thing yet. Not a single thing. Shepherd has come to them. The Holy Spirit has done a work. He opens the door. And when the Holy Spirit opened the door, what did he do? When the porter here opened the door, what happened? There was a presentation of the shepherd. The shepherd is now inside that sheepfold. He is presented. He is presented to the sheep. This is the result of the porter opening. You and I would have never seen Christ had not the Holy Spirit opened, had not the Holy Spirit done work. So that's what is being pictured here. And this is what David is assured of. This work had taken place in his life. And again, as we've said many times, we need to go back there often. It's just a glorious thing to go back to. The day the Lord saved our soul, I think it's good to go back there every day. So the shepherd is presented, and it says, and the sheep hear his voice. So he calls. Holy Spirit opens. The shepherd speaks. He calls. He calls, and he called his own sheep. He didn't call someone else's sheep. Again, the idea of a sheepfold. Several shepherds have their sheep in this fold. The shepherd comes and he calls his own sheep by name. In the day of our salvation, Christ came to us, Spirit of God opened the way of access. Christ is presented. He called us by name, and we heard. We not only heard, but we knew his voice. Then notice what it says. And leadeth them out. So he comes, he calls, we hear, we know, and he leads us out, and we follow him. That's salvation. And none of it is possible, of course, without Christ, but none of it is possible without the porter also. None of it is possible without the work of the porter opening that door. And so it is in our salvation. Verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. That speaks of their life now. A stranger they will not follow. It's talking about the false teachers. And then, in verse 9, Christ sums up this event of salvation. I am the door. I am the door. By me, the door, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. In other words, there's liberty. There's freedom that is gained. Now, all of this is the assurance that David has when he says, the Lord is my shepherd. He has the assurance of salvation. I've never seen a person who has doubts about their salvation that is happy. It'll make you miserable. If this is something that you're not settled upon, you will be one miserable individual. You'll be more miserable than the individual that doesn't know a thing about it and just ignorant. But someone who knows some things about salvation and then you constant turmoil about whether or not you're saved, that's a miserable, miserable individual. But there is blessed assurance, the Lord is my shepherd. Blessed assurance of salvation. So when he says, when he makes that statement, we see the assurance of salvation. Also, in taking the position of a sheep, he takes the position of a recipient of God's grace. Now, when you think about the characteristics of a sheep, it's a picture of a miracle of grace. If we are sheep, amazing grace has taken place. A sheep of the Lord's is a position of distinction. My sheep. My sheep. That's a position of distinction. It's also a position of privilege. To be a sheep of the Lord. Now, if we have a position of distinction with the Lord, and we have a position of privilege with the Lord, that can only be due to His love. It can only be due to His grace and His mercy, His goodness, His kindness. It can only be due to the patience of the Lord. So in recognizing that He is a sheep, it is the same as recognizing that we are God's workmanship, Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 10. Think of sheep. Sheep are tame. Sheep are gentle. That wasn't us by nature. Sheep are harmless. They're not ravenous creatures. They're not devouring creatures. Grace has done a wonderful work. God's people are not ravenous. They're not ravenous. They are meek. They're basically patient. Again, all of this is due to the grace of God. Sheep are profitable to the shepherd. Profitable to the shepherd. What grace that you and I are of profit to the shepherd. That we are profitable to the shepherd. The sheep are called. We see that in John 10, verse 3. The sheep hear the shepherd. That's grace. We're told that in John 10, verse 3. Notice also John 10, verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. I must bring them. Why? Because they're my sheep. And they're lost. And they shall hear my voice. I must bring, and they will. They shall hear my voice. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So they know the voice of the shepherd. That's grace. They follow the shepherd. Again, that's grace. And they're safe. When David says, the Lord is my shepherd, he is saying, I'm safe. I'm safe. I am a sheep of his, and therefore I am safe. John 10, verse 28. Let's read verse 27 again. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life. The sheep. And they, the sheep, shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Again, thieves and robbers would try to climb the walls of the sheepfold to steal the sheep, to do harm to the sheep. But no man is able to destroy one of the Lord's sheep. I and my Father are one, that is, in keeping the sheep. So again, David has this assurance of security, which again speaks of God's grace. God's grace, even when we were lost sheep, going astray, we were being kept. And then, of course, God rescued us. And we are continually kept. The safe sheep, by nature, were lost and going further astray. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have that in common. Our entire unsaved life was a life of straying, going astray. But Christ, the shepherd, he came to give eternal life to the sheep. Notice John 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That thief, again, is spoken of there in verse 1. I am come that they, the sheep, might have life. I am come to give them life. I'm not come to destroy them. I'm come to give them life. The Lord never destroys a sheep. Never. He's never destroyed a single one of his sheep. And that they, my sheep, that I come to give eternal life to, might have it more abundantly. In doing this, he came to lay down his life. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. There's particular redemption for the sheep. Not for the goats, but for the sheep. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's God's grace. So when David takes the position of a sheep, he's taken a position of the recipient of God's grace. Also, in taking the position of the sheep, he takes a position of great need. Sheep by nature have great need, require care. Sheep by nature are unintelligent. They're not a very intelligent creature. They are dirty. They are timid. Basically helpless. They have very, very poor eyesight and are basically directionless. Therefore, they have a tendency to wander and to become lost. They have self-destructive habits. They have many, many enemies and are basically defenseless. And they are very easily frightened, very easily disturbed. Very easily they become restless. They're very easily exhausted and worn down and very prone to disease. So they are very weak and needy creature. And the Lord, throughout the Word of God, speaks of His people. He uses the analogy of a sheep. He didn't use the analogy of a dog or a bear or a lion. Something powerful, something intelligent. He uses the analogy of a sheep. Picture of need. He speaks of them as lost sheep. Now you consider the characteristics of a sheep and then picture a lost sheep. That is a desperate situation for that sheep. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50. And verse 6, my people, there's a distinction, my people, hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray, speaking of the false prophets. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten the resting place. You have a picture of a lost sheep. We were all there. It is a picture again of great need. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 6. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The lost sheep. Matthew 15, verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, why didn't Christ say, I am not sent but to the Jews? No, it's much more particular than that. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. And it's what he referred to in John chapter 10, the two folds. There's a Jewish fold, there's a Gentile fold. But he was sent to the lost sheep of the Jews and then eventually and the Gentiles. They're spoken of as a stray sheep. They're lost, they're astray. Again, Isaiah 53:6. 1 Peter 2, verse 25. They are pictured as scattered. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. Woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Again, very particular. The sheep of my pasture. But they were scattered. They were scattered here by the Old Testament prophets, false ones. In Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 17, Israel is a scattered sheep. That's a picture of need. A scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. And then it goes on and gets specific. John chapter 10, and we'll close. Verse 12. John 10, verse 12. But he that is a hireling, not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. So he speaks of his people as sheep. He says they're lost sheep, they're stray sheep, they're scattered sheep. All of which speak of great need. So when David takes the position of a sheep, he is taking the position of need. He realizes, I am a needy creature. And if we're going to live life in Psalm 23, we must come to that realization. We must maintain that realization. I am a needy creature. I require the care of the Lord. And that allows us to live in this 23rd Psalm. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we do thank you, Lord, that we are of your sheep. Lord, we thank you that you are our shepherd, that you care for us, that you feed us, that you direct us. Lord, we thank you so much to be one of your sheep, Lord, and everything that that means. Lord, we do pray that you would help us to live the life of a sheep who follows their shepherd. Lord, that you would be with us today, that you would cause us, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, that you would draw us closer to thee. Lord, that you would just bless us this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.